The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento, Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.
Welcome back to Sports Day WA with Peter Vlahos on this Wednesday. Great to have your company. And we're here for Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 45 years. And Nutrien Ag Solutions going further for Australian farmers. Plenty of football, international football we're talking about, happening at the moment. The Matildas this morning in the United States of America took on Mexico in a international friendly and were victorious by 2-0. We had some crazy quarterfinals in the Champions League where four of the biggest clubs in the world did battle and there were goals galore. And who's going to win the EPL title race? Arsenal, Manchester City, Liverpool. Take your pick. And I might ask him for his pick when I have a chat to him about that in a moment. Joining us is our world football expert, Daniel Garb. Daniel, thanks for your time.
No worries, Pete. How are you, mate?
Good. Good result for the Matildas against Mexico. They were certainly not at full strength. They've got some injury concerns. What did you make of the result?
Yeah, good result. I think the camp was mainly about preparing for the Olympics, really. I mean, the game against Mexico was nice to be tagged on at the end, but they were in camp in America for a week. This is all about getting ready for the Paris Games, of course. So the chance to work hard with Tony Gustavsson, it's a massive tournament for the Matildas. They want to build on their World Cup exploits and try and win a medal for the first time after finishing fourth in Tokyo. We know there's no Sam Kerr. Katrina Gorry's out at the moment. Claire Hunter was brilliant in the centre of defence at the World Cup, but he's injured right now as well. So the chance to bring some new players through, and they got past Mexico pretty easily. A 2-0 win, excellent goals from Hayley Raso and Caitlin Fors. I think they step away from the week pretty positive about all things Paris now, and with confidence building. Of course, Sam Kerr won't be there, but you put Katrina Gorry and Claire Hunt back in that squad with some other players getting some experience. Yeah, reason to be enthused in a very tough group about the Matildas' chances of a medal in Paris, and then hopefully the Olyroos can qualify and join them.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting. If things do go their way, and as you mentioned, it's a pretty tough group that they are in, they'd certainly, if they get out of the group, be a distinct medal chance, wouldn't they?
No doubt. I mean, the Olympics groups are always tough. There's only 16 teams, so you're going to draw a superpower or two. The USA will be smarting after being knocked out in the quarterfinals for the first time in their history at the last World Cup. They'll be out to prove a point, so they'll be incredibly tough. And Germany are a strong side, as we know. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult, but if they can find a way to get through that group, then there's a big chance of a medal. But it's incredibly difficult. But this team's had wonderful experience in massive games over the journey. No Sam Kerr will make it, you know, that much tougher to make it through to the knockouts and to qualify for a medal. But we hope for the best.
Amazing Champions League action last night, Daniel Garb. Goals galore. Real Madrid 3, Manchester City 3, and Arsenal 2, Bayern Munich 2 at the Emirates. 10 goals in 2 games, and boy, oh boy, wasn't there some class goals?
The standard of football was mesmerising. So I'm not sure we get a better standard of football worldwide than the knockout stages of the Champions League. Maybe the European Championships. Some people here might say, what about the World Cup? Of course the World Cup provides tantalising football, but the World Cup is more about spreading the game around the globe and getting other teams the opportunity to play. The standard isn't always as high throughout the entirety of the tournament as, say, you know, the Champions League can be in the final four to eight games or so from the knockout stages and even the end of the Euros. The Champions League right now, where you've got the best players in the world all going at it, yeah, it is just out of control. This morning was as exciting as football can ever be. And the crazy part about it is after the first legs, which were out of control, things are all still even. It's 3-3 between Real Madrid and Man City. It's 2-2 between Arsenal and Bayern Munich. And the Gunners had an Arsenal junior and Serge Gnabry score against him. And then Harry Kane, the nemesis from Tottenham for so many years, netting a penalty at the Emirates in front of them as well. So Yep, it had the subplots, fantastic drama, just top-class football quality, and we move into the second leg with things dead even.
And what I think is added to this, Garby, you may agree, you may not agree, but the fact that they've dispensed with the away goals rule has given teams now a licence to go for it, particularly in away legs.
Yeah, I mean, people will have different opinions on that. They'll say that, you know, you go for it more on the away leg because you've got the chance to put it to bed. Other teams say that teams go too defensive with the away goals rule. Who knows? But I do like that it's open now and there isn't that avenue to play with, if you like, or a slight advantage that teams can set about a tactical difference with. I think it makes it a bit more open and, more of a blank canvas, if you like, for supporters to analyse the game heading into the second leg and for coaches as well. So, yeah, I like that aspect of it. I think it's going to be hugely exciting. And, the other interesting aspect is Arsenal and Man City, you know, what those games mentally and physically. I know Liverpool are in the Europa League as well, but that's a level down in terms of the physical and mental, certainly the mental exertion, I think, in terms of the stage the Champions League's on. What impact that will have on those teams in the Premier League title race.
Saying that, how do you see the Premier League title race? This time last season, Arsenal were dropping off and Manchester City were coming. And in the end, it was Manchester City who took out the Premiership. It's a bit different. There's seemingly a bit more of a different dynamic now. And it could come down to the last set of fixtures.
I still think there'll be a twist or two. There certainly was on the weekend with Liverpool dominating Manchester United but failing to put them away and then dropping 2 points. That can happen. I don't think the standard from either of the teams or three of the teams will drop. So I can't see Arsenal running out of gas, which they did last season. I can't see City making a big mistake, nor can I see Liverpool doing so. But that doesn't mean that other teams won't take their chances against them, won't relish the opportunity to knock one of them off. The game that I cannot wait for, I think it's May 11, is Tottenham against Arsenal. That is going to be something else. Tottenham would absolutely despise the concept of Arsenal winning the title after 20 years and beating them at Tottenham's new stadium in order to continue on that journey, because Arsenal's in the box seat now. It's in their hands. They win every game, they'll win the title. Ange Postecoglou at the helm of Spurs. They're still trying to lock away fourth spot. What an enormous game that promises to be. And there are other big ones like that still to come. So I think there's a twist or so. You can't pick it at this stage. All three teams are playing fantastic football. They really are. I don't know how anyone can make a strong call over who's going to win it. I mean, Arsenal and Liverpool have got their noses in front of City. You'd say that it's going to be tough for City considering there's two teams in front of them in that sense. You know, it'd take a massive turn for both of them to drop off. So I do think it'll be one of Arsenal or Liverpool. But how you make the call now with seven games still to go and some massive contests, I'm not sure. It's still a dead even race. It's merely goal difference right now that separates the Gunners and the Reds. It's going to be fascinating, though. And Arsenal need to take this opportunity. It's a 20-year anniversary since they last won the title. You don't take this one. You know, we said it last year. Who knows when it presents itself again? Liverpool's last season under Jurgen Klopp. There's so many storylines attached to it too.
It is fascinating. Arsenal and Liverpool on 71 points. Manchester City on 70. And then Tottenham, who at the moment are sitting in that final Champions League spot, 10 points behind in 60. But saying that, you mentioned Tottenham and Arsenal. I think Tottenham play a couple of the top three, they could very well determine who wins the Premiership in England because they come up against the big guns, don't they, in the games remaining?
They do. They play Liverpool as well. They are not, and we know this from Ange, he will not take a backward step. He will not for a moment say, we're going more defensive today and let's try and frustrate them. They're going to go for the title. Let's, you know, potentially play on the back foot and try and slow the game down like Jose Mourinho and Chelsea famously did to Liverpool about 10 years ago, of course, at Anfield with the Steven Gerrard slip game. He won't do that. They'll go at it. But he'll want to match it with the best. He'll want to maintain that Spurs identity that he's instilled so successfully in his first season in charge. So that makes it even more exciting. May present opportunities for the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal when they play them the other way, no doubt, but they'll back themselves to win as well. And the crowd energy when they take on Arsenal at home will be a huge factor in that contest because, as I say, Spurs will just... The concept of Arsenal beating them at Tottenham Stadium to win the league, they won't stand for it right now. So what a contest that will be to watch. And I mean, what Ange is doing, we've become conditioned, haven't we, to Ange's exploits over the last few years. But to have them in fourth place right now and moving towards a Champions League spot, again, it just boggles the mind what he's been able to do because nobody expected that from Tottenham coming into the season. They were expected to be a side that, you know, finishes, if they finish sixth or so or fifth, great effort. But they look like exceeding that expectation in a year where they lost Harry Kane. That is just unimaginable, really.
It's interesting. Garby, do you want to go? I reckon we should try and organise and get there for that Arsenal-Tottenham game. That'll be something else. There's a couple of Arsenal supporters around here, actually, in Perth. Chris Klafounis, who produces the breakfast program, is a big Arsenal supporter. Sam Butler, who used to play with the West Coast Eagles, doesn't follow the AFL much now. You know who his favourite side is? Arsenal. And I believe he's already booked a ticket to go, hopefully to be there when the Gunners win the championship. And, of course, Tim McMillan, who reads the Channel 7 news here in Perth, also a mad Gunners fan. I wouldn't be surprised if he's planning to go as well. It should be just fascinating. Fascinating also, before we let you go, the A-League and two unfancy teams when you come to the scheme of things, Central Coast Mariners and Wellington Phoenix, at the moment 5 points clear at the head of the A-League table.
Yeah, and I was at the game for Channel 10 on Saturday night, hosting the coverage from down there, and it was an awesome contest between the Mariners and the Phoenix, and the Mariners won 2-1 late on to go back to the top of the table and in the box seat for the Premier's plate. The Wellington Phoenix have never won a major trophy in the A-League, so it's a huge opportunity for them. The Mariners won the title last season, then lost their coach and best striker in Jason Cummings and a couple other young guns, and started the season poorly and have just been a juggernaut since then. And there's amazing energy around that place. There were 10,000 people inside their ground on Saturday night. People talk about everything that's going wrong with the A-League. There's a few clubs who are doing things the right way. And to have 10,000 there and for them to score a late winner to go back to the top, it was an awesome scene, fantastic atmosphere. And, they will duke it out for the Premier's plate, that's for sure, over the next 3 weeks. But then there's still a couple of teams that can make a run at it come finals. The Melbourne Victory can't be written off. Sydney FC as well, I think, if they get things right come finals, are a big chance. So I think it's going to be really exciting in that sense.
Good on you, Garby. And, of course, we're going to Perth Glory at the moment. They sit at the foot of the table. They've got Melbourne City this weekend before they come home and play their final game against Western United. I think everybody involved with the Glory is looking forward to the end of the season. Then Ross Pellegrin, who's the chairman, and all the former Socceroos involved with the club will be working tirelessly, and I know very successfully, during the off-season to bolster the Perth Glory. And I know the Perth Glory will be a shadow of its former self when they kick off the new season in October. And we wish them the best of luck. So, Garby, thanks for your time. Always lovely to chat with you. And just have a look at the airfares, mate, for Arsenal and Tottenham. When did you say it was? About May the 7th, was it?
Something like that. I'm not sure of the exact date, but mate, if I was spending that money to go over, I'd be going to watch a Liverpool game, mate. Hopefully, my Reds will get it done.
Please.
And hopefully the Eagles will get it done on Sunday. I reckon the Eagles might just knock Richmond off on Sunday, Arvo.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident about that one. Just moving towards, moving towards really feeling strong about a first Eagles win of the season.
Yeah, I reserve my judgment, but a few like you are jumping on board and saying that the Eagles could record their first win of the season. Let's hope for local footy fans that's the case. Thanks, Daniel, and we'll keep in touch.
Thanks, mate.
Daniel Garb, fantastic value there and knows the world game better than anybody. Now for Tyre Power's Power Up Sale. It's on now. Recapping what's happened, Port Adelaide forward Jeremy Finlayson has been suspended for 3 games after making a homophobic slur during last Friday's match against Essendon. Sydney Swans have landed enormous contract coup. They've signed Errol Goulden one of the AFL's top young players, to a new four-year deal. So he's tied to the Swans until the end of 2028. The Matildas, as you heard with Garby, recorded a 2-0 victory over Mexico in a friendly as they build up towards the Paris Olympic Games. And Australian former world number one Jason Day has been grouped with golf legend Tiger Woods in one of the marquee first-round trios at the Masters, now among an elite group of golfers to have finished runner-up at all four major championships after his joint second at last year's British Open. Day has been afforded the ultimate billing at Augusta National. At 48 and barely a part-timer these days, Woods has arrived for his 26th Masters campaign, adamant he can break then 46-year-old Jack Nicklaus's 1986 record as the oldest player ever to win a green jacket. He doesn't lack anything in confidence. So that's Sports Update. Thanks to Tyre Power, and visit your local Tyre Power store today for a free tyre safety inspection. There are over 50 stores across WA. That's it for me. I'll be back again for the early Sports Day WA tomorrow between 2 and 3. Between 2 and 3, and we'll speak to somebody from the West Coast Eagles. So Eagles fans, tune in, and we'll bring you the latest as well. Thanks to Jimmy, my executive producer. Connor, outstanding panel operator. He's one of the best in the business, the young fella. Don't worry about that. So 2 to 3 tomorrow, Sports Day WA. 3 to 5, the run home. And then at 5 o'clock, AFL action, Brisbane against Melbourne. Have a great night. See you tomorrow.
The new, refined, 7-seat Kia Sorento. Kia's large SUV. Available now at your nearest Kia dealer. And Toolmart, the complete tool centre, serving WA for over 40 years. This is Sports Day.